Good morning, boys and girls.
Good morning.
Let's turn to Hebrews chapter 11. You sang that hymn well. I must say that the Lord chose that hymn this morning for us, because just before I was leaving my house to come down here, and I was thinking about a hymn, there began to play on my computer that very hymn. I tune in from I get up in the morning to a gospel radio station in the United States. It's broadcast by Foundations Bible College in North Carolina. 24 hours a day it plays good old-fashioned gospel hymns as well as readings from the Bible and preaching. And I tune into it. And as I say, on came this hymn. And I, who was wondering what will we sing this morning, just felt in my heart, well, that's the hymn. And you know, when we look at it, if I might just draw your attention to it, it deals with the very matter we're looking at this morning. Verse 2 of the hymn says, These are they who in their youthful days found Jesus early, and in wisdom's ways proved the fullness of his grace, washed in the blood of the Lamb. And the next verse says, These are they who in affliction's woes ever have found in Jesus calm repose, such as from a pure heart flows, washed in the blood of the Lamb. These are they who in the conflict dire boldly have stood amidst the hottest fire. Jesus now says, come up higher, washed in the blood of the Lamb. Now, I only heard the opening words of the hymn on the radio program. It's only when I come down here I was reminded, looking at the words, why this really does suit the subject this morning. Because we're going to look now at Hebrews chapter 11 and the verse 26. Verse 26, Hebrews 11. Listen while we read it and you look at it too. I always like folk to read with me because I want them to see that I'm saying exactly what the Bible says, and I'm not putting in my own notion. Well, look at verse 26 then, please. Esteeming, that word means to calculate, to think about, and come to a conclusion. And that's what Moses did here, for it's Moses that's being referred to. Esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect. And that word means he turned his eyes away from everything else. That's what the word means. He turned his eyes away from everything else and fixed his eyes on the Lord Jesus. And in consequence, he was able to endure the afflictions that followed his decision. Let's read it again. Esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. He fixed his eyes on what would come to him in all eternity if he stood for the Lord for that short time he would be on the earth. Now this verse is part of the story of the thinking of Moses and how it is he came to this decision, what it was he chose to do, but it's all part of the revealing of the mind of Moses, given us here by the Lord. How did he come to this choice? Well, remember what we read earlier, how that there was in his family faith in God. Verse 23, by faith Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents. They acted in that fashion because they believed God. And that faith that was in mom and dad came to the heart of Moses. He would have heard, particularly from his mother, the way of salvation. And as a result, he came to faith in the Lord Jesus. I would say pretty early in his life. What about you? Your mom and dad see you? They have spoken, I'm sure, to you and brought you to where you hear the gospel. Well, have you followed them as Moses followed his parents? Well, that's what we must do, boys and girls. Because unless you follow them in obeying the gospel, you will not follow them into heaven. You will not be with them in heaven unless you have done what they did and obeyed the gospel. So, in his early days, Moses would have heard. In fact, I was thinking in the middle of the night about how in the book of Exodus, where we have the story of Moses as a baby, remember how he was put in the ark among the reeds, he cried, the Egyptian princess, the daughter of Pharaoh, heard the baby cry, sent someone down, gathered up the little baby, and she said, oh, this is one of the Hebrews, and they've hidden the child away. And the sister of Moses had been appointed by mum and dad to watch over, to hide nearby and watch over little Moses and see what would happen. And Miriam rushed forward when Moses was in the arms of the princess and said, would you like me to get one of the Hebrew women to look after the baby for you? And the princess said, oh, that'd be a very good idea. Yes, go and do that. And she brought her mother, the mother of Moses. And the princess said to her, look, you take the child away, look after the baby, and I'll pay you money. And I was thinking last night, the whole household of Moses would have benefited from the money given by the princess, because she had loads of money. And she would have been, I'm sure, very generous, and gave to the mother of Moses not only that which would take care of the baby, but there would be plenty left over to take care of mother, father, and the other members of the family. Boys and girls, it pays to serve the Lord. It pays to serve the Lord. We have an old saying we often use, God is no man's debtor. You'll never do something for God and him not pay you. And that's very evident in the story of Moses. So the family's benefiting from faith. And as he grows up, the faith that was planted in the heart of Moses begins to cause him to think about certain things. And it says in the verse 24, by faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. This is faith working. Faith making him realize, I've got to stand out and be amongst the people of God. They're my crowd. And so he ceased to be called an Egyptian, the son of Pharaoh's daughter, but instead, as it says in verse 25, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasure of sin for a season. Now, I've said to you when we were looking at these verses, there were plenty of people who would have thought Moses was mad, giving up such a position. If it was announced tomorrow that Prince William had turned his back on the royal family, ceased to be called a prince, and instead was entering Whitfield College to become a student for the gospel. Boy, would that create headlines. And everybody would say, what's wrong with his head? Going in among that bunch. Well, I don't think for a moment that that would even really compare with what Moses did. Moses sided with those who were slaves, for that's what the Hebrews were in Egypt. What was your thinking, Moses? Well, verse 26, our verse today says, esteeming the reproach of Christ, calculating, giving due and proper thought to this matter, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches. He looked at what it meant to stand up and own Christ, no matter what fell on his head as a result, to be a better investment for his life than to inherit all the riches of Egypt. That's what he thought. And boys and girls, Moses is in heaven now. Very high up in heaven now. Among the most famous and most exalted of the people of God in heaven now. And he at this moment, if I can put this to you, he at this moment is saying, boy, didn't I make the right choice? Didn't I make the right choice? In hell at this moment, Judas is in hell. And do you know what he's saying? What a fool I was. I was right there. in the presence of the Saviour, and I sold that treasure for 30 pieces of silver. It was a great sermon title used by many people in times past, based upon what happened in the Garden of Gethsemane when Judas came with the crowd to arrest the Lord Jesus. And they had given the crowd a sign, because it was dark, and they didn't have the lights and lamps that we have today. There might have been a few burning brands, but very limited light from them. And he had given them a sign, the one I kiss on the cheek, that's Jesus of Nazareth. And from that incident there came a great sermon title, The Man Who Kissed the Door of Heaven. For Jesus said, I am the door. The man who kissed the door of heaven but went to hell. That's how close Judas was to heaven. He kissed the door of heaven, but he went to hell because he made a wrong choice. He made a wrong choice. But here's Moses making the right choice. Esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. And boys and girls, you're faced today, each one of you, faced with the same choice. Faced with the same choice. It's Christ, and as a result, being mocked and laughed at, to some measure at least, some more than others, but you'll find yourself laughed at, to some measure. Or the world, and everybody that's in the world will be clapping you on the back and saying, what a smart fellow you are. But if you choose Christ, you go to heaven. If you reject him, no matter what the world may say of you, you'll be lost forever. Same choice being made today, and here it is set forth for us in our text. Let me quickly give you some points concerning this text. It's important that we notify you of the important truths that are set forth here. I've called this sanctified logic, or holy logic. Logically, Moses looked at this matter and said, well, now what am I going to do? What should I do? And in his mind he thought over the matter, and logically he came to a conclusion. And it was holy logic, because he made a holy and proper choice. And I want you to notice, again, something I've said before. There would have been many who would have thought Moses was mad when he made this choice. It seems so foolish. To the eyes of a sinful man, there's no need to think about this. The treasures of Egypt, or being counted amongst the Hebrew slaves. There's nothing to think about. The worldly man would say, without hesitation, I'm for the treasures of Egypt. But he is very limited in what he can see. And he would think that's the wise thing, but it's not the wise thing. And those who thought Moses was mad were very much wrong. It is said of Mary, the sister of Lazarus, who was raised from the dead, she hath chosen that good part. And that's what Moses did. He chose the good part. He wasn't mad. He was exceedingly wise. He got the matter right. Oh, get this matter right, boys and girls. That word esteeming carries the meaning of going before, being led. So that as Moses is thinking about this matter, there is something that goes before him that begins to lead him. And that which is leading Moses is a right understanding of the treasures of Egypt in comparison to the reproach of Christ. The treasures of Egypt won't last. They won't last. You know they're still digging up treasures in Egypt. There's archaeologists out there digging holes on the ground, uncovering the treasures of Egypt. That's where they ended up. But the reproach of Christ will bring honour and glory to those who serve the Lord. The decision of Moses was very different from what would have been commonly made, and it has ever been the same. Listen to this. It's a very interesting verse in, or two verses actually, in John chapter 12, verses 42 and 43. Nevertheless, listen to this. Nevertheless, among the chief rulers, Many believed on him. Do you hear me? This is in the days of the Lord Jesus. The rulers who were so often opposed to him. And many among them believed on him. But because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue, for they loved the praise of men more than the praise of God. That's an interesting thing. So that amongst the leaders in Israel, in the days of Christ, there were plenty who said, I believe he is who he claims to be. I believe he is the Messiah. But if I side with him, they'll kick me out of the synagogue, which would mean he would just become an outcast. He'd be shut out of every activity in Israel if he's shut out of the synagogue. Nobody would speak to him. Nobody would do business with him. He was without a friend. And they said, I can't do that. I prefer the praise of man to the praise of God. That was a stupid decision. But many did that. Moses, on the other hand, was of a different frame of mind. I don't care what men think of me. I want the praise of God. I want the praise of God. I want to press on you boys and girls that every Christian should follow Moses' example. Do you know why God wrote the Bible? That book in your hand. Do you know why God wrote that? Telling the story of men like Moses. Do you know why? Because he wants you to learn from them and do what they did. That's why God has recorded the Bible. And there are many people we meet when we read the Bible. And God wants you to meet them, listen to them, and follow them. Not the world, but the holy men and women that we encounter in the Scriptures. We should follow Moses' example. There's a verse that I learned very early in my Christian life, very early. It's a verse Dr. Paisley often turned to explain why we were free Presbyterians, not just Presbyterians belonging to the big denomination that has that name, but we were free Presbyterians, separated from them. Why? And he would give this as an explanation. Hebrews chapter 13, and that's only a couple of chapters over from where we're looking. Hebrews chapter 13, 12 to 14. Wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate. I have been to Calvary, and it's outside the walls of Jerusalem. Not inside the walls, it's outside the walls. The Savior was an outsider, and in order to save his people, he was crucified as an outsider, as an outcast, rejected, dying there at Calvary. Wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate. Let us go forth therefore unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach. Without the camp is a reminder that in the Old Testament days, that which was considered unclean was carried outside the camp. And that's a picture of the Savior, the rejected one, outside the camp. And we're to go unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach, share in his shame. This is what we have to do as Christians. For here have we no continuing city, but we seek one to come. Here's the reason for this strange decision, to share in the shame of the Savior. Because there's nothing to be gained here. Side with the world, and you're siding with nothing. But side with Christ, and you have an eternal reward. And that was the thinking of Moses. I'm better sharing in the reproach heaped upon the people of God. I'm better doing that. Because there's an eternal reward for doing that. Compared to siding with the Egyptians, and inheriting their treasures, it will come to nothing. You can't spend gold in eternity. There's an old saying, there are no pockets in a shroud. Do you know what a shroud is? Well, that's the garment they dress the dead in. People are laid out in the coffin in a shroud, and there are no pockets in a shroud, because you can't take your money with you. when you die. You leave it all behind. But those who stand for Jesus find waiting for them in eternity the riches of God. That's the thinking of old Moses. James, who I read just recently, started on Peter this morning. James said this, "Go to now, ye rich men, weep and howl for your miseries that shall come upon you. Your riches are corrupted, and your garments are moth-eaten. Your gold and silver is cankered, and the rust of them shall be a witness against you." Treasures don't last, earthly treasures don't last, but heavenly ones do. Last thing, boys and girls, and I want to emphasize this, there is a reward for bearing reproach for the Lord Jesus Christ. Here's God's promise. Now listen, here's God's promise. 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 30. "Them that honor me, I will honor, and they that despise me shall be lightly esteemed." Do you hear me? That's what God has said. "Them that honor me, I'll honor." Now the honor God gives, it can't be measured. It can't be measured. Every day we read of the king handing a medal to someone, or knighting them with a sword on their shoulder, or presenting them with some honor. Oh, it gets folk excited in the family circle of the person honored. And we read about it in the paper. But tomorrow we'll have forgotten their name. It amounts to nothing. But God's honor is not like that. Do you know part of the proof of it? Here are you and I, and who are we talking about this morning? We're talking about a man who lived thousands of years ago, Moses. That's who we're talking about. We're not talking about any of the kings that have sat upon the throne of the United Kingdom. You probably couldn't come up with half a dozen names of kings and queens that have sat upon that throne if you tried hard. And yet there have been dozens and dozens and dozens of them. But you couldn't remember them. And if you did remember their name, you couldn't tell much about what they were or who they were or what they did. But we're talking today about Moses. We're admiring, I hope, Moses. We're endeavouring to obey God and walk as Moses walked. That's some evidence of the fact that God honours those who honour him. God has honoured Moses by lifting his name above the names of all who have lived on this earth. Christians try to live their life according to the teachings of Moses, his setting down God's laws. We try to live by that. That's an honouring of Moses. That's an honouring of Moses. And it's but a small part of the honour that will be his throughout eternity. He's honoured in heaven at the moment, but there's greater honour to come to Moses. When the Lord Jesus comes, Moses, among all the millions of those who are saved, will rise from the grave, and he will become glorified. And he will be rewarded then with even greater honour than he enjoys at the moment. I can't tell you what it means to be honoured by God. It's an honour that never stops. Sometimes I watch programmes about antiques, and time again I see coming up on auctions war medals won by soldiers for their bravery. Soldiers are dead. The families don't care about the medals. They think they'll be worth a wee bit, and they'd rather have the money to spend on some stupid thing, so they sell the medals of honour. Come to nothing. That's not the way it is with God. That's not the way it is with God. God's honour will last forever. I honestly think that it will become more and more wonderful as the endless eons of eternity pass by. Oh, I tell you, boys and girls, follow Moses. Do what he did for the reasons he had. He esteemed the reproach of Christ greater riches than all the treasures in Egypt. You have an opportunity to enter into those riches. Stand for Christ, with Christ, throughout your life, and he will reward you. He will reward you. May the Lord bless his word to our hearts now. We'll bow in prayer. Close your eyes. We're going to pray. Lord, bless the boys and girls and give them understanding of what it is has been said, especially the older ones, Lord. Maybe they are about the very age that Moses began to think on these matters. Oh God, guide the boys and the girls into a right decision for Christ. Bless the school today and undertake for it in every matter. For Jesus' sake, amen. Amen.